Oh Lord, we thank you that your arms are always open wide. And it doesn't matter what we've done, what we've said, but Lord, you are a merciful and forgiving God. Thank you, Jesus. I hear somebody saying right now in their heart, but you don't know what I've done. Yeah, and you don't know what Jesus has done. Jesus has paid a price that severely overpaid any debt that we could ever owe to him. Anything we would have said, anything we would have done, Jesus overpaid for that. So Lord, we thank you for the forgiveness of our sins, for the life that you've given us within, and for making us free, for making us whole. And Lord, we thank you that even when, I just saw myself saying this morning, Lord, even when we are faithless, you remain faithful. Amen. For you cannot deny yourself. Lord, we thank you for that. Thank you for that. You are merciful, slow to anger, abounding in mercy, so compassionate. And it's not a matter of what we've done. It's only a matter of will we come to Jesus. And when we sin, when we make mistakes, we don't run from him. We run to him, where the forgiveness is, where the love is, where the grace is. So, Father, we thank you that your altar is always open for us. We can always come to you, knowing that you will always receive us, never cast us away. Always being faithful, always being true. You are so good to us, Lord. So we bless you and we thank you in this place for your love and your grace and your mercy. In Jesus' name, amen, amen.
Well, you know, when you believe it, what did we just confess on there? I will say continually. Now, I love when the psalmist said that. I will say continually. Let the Lord be magnified, who takes pleasure in the prosperity of his servants. Why is that so important? Because you got to say it continuously so that he stays magnified and so that you can, your heart will embrace things that it wouldn't naturally embrace.
Amen.
Amen. So I just really encourage you to take those blessings and do them on Monday too, not just on Sunday.
Amen,
amen, amen, amen. Well, I don't know if you've noticed, but in the past few months, periodically, we've been honoring certain volunteers that we have around here and acknowledging what they've done. And today, we have a very special person who is a part of our congregation that I would like to acknowledge. Some of you, you've seen him around, but he kind of flies below the radar. And he actually lives on property here, and he's just recently moved. And his name is Drayton Hall. Drayton, would you come on up here?
Yeah.
Come on. And I want to tell you, this is a huge step of faith for Drayton right now. He does not like this at all, but I really encourage him. I said, let us honor you because it's good for us to be able to do that. Drayton has been a part of this church. He's been a member of this church since 1971. And I had to remind him when he told me that. I said, man, I hadn't even been alive that long. And not only has he been a member of this church since 71, but he actually moved into our church office over there. You know, it's called the House of Expectation, and a lot of people don't realize why we call it that. But it was basically a halfway house for men at one point, and you had different guys that would stay there. The former pastor who is now going on to be with the Lord, Brother Don Van Hoosier, lived there as well. So there's been a lot of good fruit that has come through that house, and I really believe Drayton is another one of those. And he's lived there since, if you moved in at 86, you've been there for 9 years by yourself, isn't that right? Yeah. So, and he's just recently had the opportunity to be able to move in with his daughter and her family, so he's still going to come to church here is what he's told us, so we're excited about that. But we just wanted to, this morning, honor Drayton for the years of what he's done. You know, there's a lot of different things that you don't know how it gets done around here. And, you know, like, for example, how does the toilet paper get changed? And who supplies the paper towels? Some people, I think, just ignorantly believe it's like the multiplying loaves and fishes. But there's actually somebody who does stuff like that. And that's not at all everything Drayton has done for this church. He's done a lot of different things over the years for it. So we just wanted to honor you for what you've done over the years for us, Drayton. So Pastor Robert, would you come up here? And I want everybody in the congregation to extend your hands out toward him. And we're going to lift up him and honor him before the Lord. Father, we just thank you for Drayton. We thank you for the years of service that he has put forth towards this church. And Lord, we just thank you that you have seen everything he's done. Even if we haven't, Lord, all the different good things that he has sown into this church, Lord, I'm calling forth right now that all those good seeds that he has sown, may it spring forth into a harvest of life, and as we've been talking about on Thursday mornings, with long life, satisfy him and show him your salvation. So we thank you, Father, for honoring him in this life, but also in the next, and we speak blessings over Drayton for all he has done. In Jesus' name. Amen, amen, amen. Let's give him a hand. Love you, buddy. That wasn't so bad, was it?
No, it wasn't bad at all. Thank you.
Thank you, buddy. Love you, man. Hallelujah. We so appreciate all that our church body does around here. Amen. You understand it's not going to get done being a one-man show. It's got to be a body ministry. Amen. So we are so thankful for all of you out there as well. As even if we haven't acknowledged you before the church, just know the Lord knows what you've done. He's seen it, and he will reward you accordingly. Amen. Praise the Lord. Well, we're going to continue talking about the Holy Spirit this morning. You hadn't forgot about him, have you?
No.
It's been a couple of weeks. I know we had Resurrection Sunday, and then we had a guest speaker. But I trust that every person in here is implementing the things that you have heard and learning to put the helper to work in your life. Amen. That you've got someone living on the inside who will help you with everything on the outside. Amen, amen, amen. Well, I want to go ahead and tell you, though, that we're going to begin a new series this morning on the Holy Spirit, which I'm calling The Commission of the Holy Spirit. The Commission of the Holy Spirit. And essentially what we're going to be talking about in this particular series is everything the Holy Spirit is called and commissioned and assigned to do for us. How many of you know there's a lot of things in the Word of God that we are promised that the Holy Spirit would do for us? Like teach us, remind us, convict us, guide us. There's a lot of different things. So we're going to go into the details of what all those things entail and see how the Holy Spirit will work in our lives. And why is it important for us to talk about this? Because we know that faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word of God. Amen. So if faith comes by hearing and hearing by the Word, then when we hear about His commission in our life, what He has commissioned and assigned to do for us, what's going to happen? We're going to increase our faith level to receive those things into our life. Always know this, that whatever you are deficient in your life, if you will just feed yourself a steady diet of the truths in God's Word concerning that, you will increase in faith for it, which will what? Receive the grace for it. Amen? So if you're struggling physically in your body, what do you need to do? You need to hide God's Word in your heart where He said His Word was been sent to heal you. Amen. And study all the Scriptures where God promises to heal you and everything like that. And what it will do, it will increase your faith so that you can receive it. If you're struggling financially, then what should you be doing? Giving yourself a steady diet in God's Word of what He says regarding our prosperity and what God will do for us in our finances, what our responsibility is and what He has promised to do. And you will increase your faith for that. But what we're attempting to do at this church is get our focus on the Holy Spirit and what He has been promised to perform in our lives, amen, so that we can increase. Let me ask you a question. How many of you could stand to be taught more by the Holy Spirit? How many of you could stand to be reminded a little bit more by the Holy Spirit? All of these different things, so we need to hear this so we can increase our capacity to receive this. Praise God. But I think it is necessary for us to review what we just recently talked about on our series on the advantage of the Holy Spirit because it perfectly, no pun intended, dovetails into what we're going to be talking about today. Amen? So we looked over at John chapter 16, verse 7. You don't have to turn over there. We'll put it up on the screen for you. But this was Jesus' last night here on the earth in his fleshly body before his crucifixion and before he would be raised from the dead. So in John chapter 14, 15, and 16, he pours out to his disciples many important truths that was critical for them to get because this is how they were going to survive when he was gone. And one of the things you notice in John 14, 15, and 16 is he talked a lot about the Holy Spirit, showing us how important the Holy Spirit is in our lives now that Jesus has gone to sit at the right hand of his Father. Amen. Well, he says here in John 16, 7, "Nevertheless, I tell you the truth. It is to your advantage that I go away, for if I do not go away, the Helper will not come to you. But if I depart, I will send him to you." And you remember I made the point that I am so glad this is in red letters in our Bible. Because Jesus is the one that said it is better, it is expedient, it is much more advantageous for us to have the Holy Spirit here on the earth today than to have Jesus on the earth. Most people just cringe at the thought of that because they're like, what could be better than having Jesus? Well, it's not that the Holy Spirit is greater than Jesus. It's simply that it's like we got our own personal Jesus now. He's living on the inside of us. Jesus in a fleshly body could only do so much. He could only minister to so many people. People had to press through the crowd to get their healing from him. Now we don't have to do that. The hem of his garment is in here. His hands being laid on us is in here. So everything has been poured out on the inside of us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Amen. That's why it is to our advantage for Jesus to go away so the Holy Spirit could move in these temples. Amen. Then we saw in John chapter 14 and verse 16, why having the Holy Spirit is better than having Jesus on this earth today. And this is what he says, because he says, "And I will pray the Father, and he will give you another helper." Amen. And we saw that even though the word helper is very significant in this verse, the word another is, in my opinion, one of the most significant words in this verse. Because it comes from the Greek word allos, which describes another of the same kind. Much different than the other Greek word that's used for another, which is heteros, which means another of a different kind. When he says allos here, what is he saying? He's saying that he would pray the Father, and the Father would give us another helper, an exact representation, a duplicate, or you could say an identical twin. Amen. So guess who we got living on the inside of us? We got Jesus' twin on the inside of us. Everything you see Jesus doing, that's who the Holy Spirit is on the inside of us. Everything you heard Jesus saying, that's what the Holy Spirit will say on the inside of us. Amen. So just think about it. You got now the essentially Jesus living on the inside of you in the person of the Holy Spirit, readily available anytime you need him to help you. Now, if you study the life of the disciples, where would the disciples have been if Jesus wouldn't have been with them? Well, they would have drowned out there in the sea. You remember that? Or the Pharisees would have had them stoned. They would not have made it 3 years, I can promise you. And what that shows us is where all of us are without depending on the Holy Spirit on the inside of us. We're essentially like Jesus' disciples without Jesus. And we're at a severe disadvantage. But thank God we got an advantage on the inside of us. So if we'll start learning to listen to him, be led by him, be guided by him, we will always come out the better. Amen. Praise God. So he will give you another helper. And we looked at this word helper from the Amplified Bible, and I love the definition the Amplified Bible gives. It describes him as the helper, but also as, listen to this, the comforter, the advocate, the intercessor, the counselor, the strengthener, the standby. Amen. All of those things the Holy Spirit has been called alongside of you to help you with. Amen. So whatever you need, he's our ever-present help in a time of need. Whatever the situation is, you're buying a new car, who should you go to? The Holy Spirit. Amen. If you need wisdom on how to fix your car, well, who do you need? The Holy Spirit. He knows all these things. You understand that, right? He is omniscient. He is all-knowing. And if we just learn to depend on him, it don't matter whether you've lost your kid or whether you've lost the remote control. It doesn't matter. The Holy Spirit is there to help you find whatever you need. But what really happens ultimately with us a lot of times, we don't lean to the Holy Spirit. We try it our own way. Like if something happens, we're like pulling our hair out, trying to figure out what all those things are. And then usually some of us, if we're smart enough, after a couple of hours, we're like, man, I can't figure this out. Holy Spirit, where's it at? And then boom, there it is. What if we'd asked the Holy Spirit before that we wasted 2 hours? You see what I'm saying? So it's increasing a sensitivity on the inside of us that the helper's on the inside of us. Let's learn to go to Him first. Amen? When you have an issue, don't make your first thing you do run to the phone. Run to the throne, amen, which is on the inside of you. So the Holy Spirit is there to be our helper, all of these different things. But this is how it perfectly lines into what we're talking about today. We saw that the Greek word that's used for helper here, all these words, is the Greek word parakletos, okay? And we found out that was a compound of two different words. The first word, para, means alongside of. It's where we get our word parallel, paramedical, paraprofessional, which a parallel line is what? A line that runs alongside of another line. So the word para is included in there. And then the second word, and this is important to today's teaching, the word kletos describes a calling, but not a calling like you would call your dog or cat. Not, Rover, where are you? No, this is calling with purpose and intention. Go over to Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, and let me show you where this word is used. It'll really describe to us what this word means. So it shows us that if the Holy Spirit is our parakletos, then He has a calling. He's been called to do something, specifically to come alongside of us, which I just love that. God just left it open. So He's called alongside of us to do what? Whatever you need. Well, He'll help you with whatever. Amen. But let's look at this word kletos. It says here in Romans chapter 1 and verse 1, Paul, as his custom was introducing himself to this Roman church, which he had never met. And he says, Paul, a bondservant of Jesus Christ, look at this word, called to be an apostle, separated to the gospel of God. The word called there is the same word kletos that's used in the word parakletos. So what was Paul saying right here? That he was called, he was selected, he was elected to be an apostle for the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen? And then he goes on to really describe essentially what that calling entailed. Separated to the gospel of God. So when you're called to do something, God has separated you, set you apart to do that specific thing. So the Apostle Paul here was called to be an apostle, but I think what happens a lot of times, and the Lord reminded me of this, is I think, and I've experienced this in the church, that a lot of people only equate being called to do something with being called to the fivefold ministry. If you're an apostle, if you're a prophet, if you're a pastor, if you're an evangelist. Let me give you some light today. Every person in here that's a born-again believer has a calling. And the vast majority of people in the body of Christ are not going to be called to be behind a pulpit or on a podium. And that does not make them any less significant or important in the whole grand scheme of the kingdom of God. Some people, it says over in Romans chapter 12, it goes on to describe other callings. It says some people are called to administrations. Some people are called into the ministry of helps. Some people are called simply to give and channel finances into the kingdom of God. And there is a variety of things. We could spend all week talking about the various callings and things like that. So let me help you to decipher what your calling is. Because a lot of times people have a hard time figuring this out. This is the best way I've ever heard. If you draw a line that goes, you know, diagonal like this, and then another line that intersects with it, like two roads that intersect right here in the middle. And name one of those roads what you love to do drive. And then name the other road what you're good at road. So what you love to do drive and what you're good at road, and you make a list at everything that you love to do and make a list of everything you're good at. Wherever those intersect is a good indication of what you're called to do. Where's, yes, right, your sweet spot. It's a good way of putting it. It is the grace that's on your life. See, because let me give you a good description of this. Some people, and I'm not talking about anybody in this church, but we're talking about the other church, okay? Some people love to serenade in song. Some people love to sing, but they're not good at it. And if you're not good at it, is anybody in here fall under that bill? Yeah, Donna's waving her hand. Bunch of us in here. If you love to do it, even if it's your number one love, and you're not good at it, you're probably not called to do it. Now, you can cultivate some things in that arena, but let's look at another situation. What if you are actually good at doing something? You have a trained behavior. It's just a God-given thing. But you don't really love to do it. You know, it's not in your heart to do it and stuff like that. For example, I got people that come to me a lot of times and say, why don't you do this? Like, particularly when it's to, I have people give me advice all the time on what to preach. You understand that? It's funny. I just laugh. I'm like, how long have you been doing this? You know, and anyways. So, what you're good at and what you love. I forgot my train of thought there. I don't even know what I was saying. There was a disconnect there. But just make an honest list. Doesn't mean you can't cultivate in something and you can't grow to love something. Not saying that. All I'm saying is every person in here has a calling. And it's equally as significant to the calling of the people that might have their face on a particular ministry. And I can speak this as being somebody who's called to the fivefold ministry. I could not do everything that I do without you. And the awesome thing is this, you're actually, if you're not on the front lines, you're in a better position. You know why? Because you're not going to get the brunt of Satan's attacks, but you get the same grace the one who's on the front line gets if you're supporting them. Amen. The Apostle Paul said that over in Philippians chapter 1 when he talked about how these people had financially supported him in being sent out to be a minister. He said, you are partakers with me of grace. How many of you would love to have the grace on your life or the reward that the Apostle Paul was going to get? Oh my Lord, you know his reward was going to be so great. So he was saying this church of Philippi was going to get the same reward he was going to get because they financially supported him in doing what he was doing. Isn't that awesome? It's like thinking about missionaries. Many of us, for physical reasons or financial reasons, aren't able to actually go into a third world country and preach the gospel. But guess what you can do? You can support them. You can send them. Amen? And there is a reward on that. So my point is this. The callings and the graces and everything like that are on everybody. But we're not talking about your calling today. We're talking about the Holy Spirit's calling. Evidently, he is called to do something specific. And that's what we're going to get into talking about, all the details of it. But today, we're going to talk about what I believe is a perfect, comprised summary of what his calling is. So go over to 1 Peter chapter 1. And this is good. While you're turning over there, you notice that I talked about how we're talking about the commission of the Holy Spirit. I looked this word up and asked a couple of people. And this is what this word commission means. It has different meanings depending on the context. But the word commissioned means to formally choose one to do a special piece of work. To formally choose one to do a special piece of work. If you are commissioned, that means you have been ordered, authorized, and appointed to do something. Now, the thing that's just standing out to me as I say that is I think a lot of people in the body of Christ have this belief system set on the inside of them that God doesn't have a lot of order in his kingdom and the way he does things. Well, you just never know what God's going to do. He's just going to choose to do all these kind of things. Let me tell you something. God has very much a lot of order in his kingdom. And the way he has set things up and the way he's designed things is he has taken the Holy Spirit and he has sent him to the earth to do something specific. The Holy Spirit has an assignment. And he longs and desires to perform that assignment in our lives. And we're going to see here in 1 Peter chapter 1 what that is. Look at verse 10. Now, leading into verse 10, the Apostle Peter was encouraging these churches to rejoice in the midst of their tribulations and when they're going through difficult times. You know, you guys need to continue to stand strong in faith and have joy because you'll receive the end of your faith, which is the salvation of your souls. Then he goes on to describe this salvation that he was encouraging them to stick with. It says, of this salvation, the prophets have inquired and searched carefully, who prophesied of the grace that would come to you, searching what or what manner of time the Spirit of Christ who was in them was indicating when he testified beforehand the sufferings of Christ and the glories that would follow. To them it was revealed, to these prophets that prophesied these things under the old covenant, to them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through those who have preached the gospel to you. How? By the Holy Spirit sent from heaven, things which angels desire to look into. Now, most people have not wrapped their heart around the significance of those verses I just read. What he's saying right there is of this salvation. He says concerning this salvation, which salvation is he talking about? The salvation you and I are currently basking in. This salvation, this so great of a salvation, as the writers of Hebrews says, has been given to us. And he talks about earlier how it is the grace that would come to you. Say the grace, that has come to me. So these Old Testament prophets, the major prophets, the minor prophets, you see it in Ezekiel, you see it in Isaiah, you see it in all these things. You understand Isaiah is typically called the fifth gospel. You know why? Because it is just full of prophecies concerning the Messiah and what he was going to perform. So let's take Isaiah in this situation. Isaiah utters these words of everything that we are going to have. Particularly, he says in one place, as the waters covered the earth, and he talked about how the days of Noah was, the Lord said, I will never be angry with you again. So I'm sure he utters this, and that was foreign to his mind because he saw a lot of the anger of God under the old covenant. Seemed like God woke up on the wrong side of the bed sometimes, right? So he prophesies these things and he's like, Lord, I just don't know if I can write that. You know, that doesn't seem like a reality. But he knew that what he was prophesying was for a future generation and dispensation, a time period, which is the one that you and I currently live in. So by his stripes we were healed. Amen. Awesome promises. And I love it how the writers of Hebrews says this. They say that in describing this new covenant, he said it's a new and better covenant established upon better promises. Now, the old covenant wasn't bad. It wasn't a bad deal, really, because he promised them. You know, if you fulfill the righteous requirement of the law, you know, he's going to do these things. He'll be the Lord that heals you. He'll be the Jehovah Jireh, your provider. He'll be your banner of victory. He'll be your sanctifier. But it put the focus on us of making sure we're doing our part. And sadly to say, most Christians today are still living with an old covenant mentality. They're more sensitive and hyper aware of what they're doing than what Jesus has done. So the new covenant is so much better in this. It's not based on us. It's based on Jesus. Jesus and God the Father have covenant together. And simply because of the fact we are in Christ, we get what Jesus gets. So when the Father speaks to him and says, hey, and declares to everybody, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. Amen. You know what you can affirmatively say? I am a beloved son and daughter of God, and God is well pleased with me. Again, not because of what you've done, but because of what Jesus has done. Amen. Now, I will echo what Pastor Robert was talking about this morning. You need to get here on Wednesday nights or at least tune in and listen to it, because that's what we're going to do. We are hitting the grace of God, justification by faith, God's unconditional love, to get our hearts established in this, because there is a freedom that comes when you start to realize this salvation that we have. And there is an absolute era and hard treading in the Christian life for the person who still has a law mentality, which is what? Works-based. What do I do? Don't put your focus on yourself. I mean, I've told this story before, and I like telling it, so I'm going to tell it again. There was a time when I was, I've had to systematically renew my mind to these things. And I'm still in a work in progress, like we all are, amen. But I was going to the Lord one time because I just hadn't been praying, hadn't been in the Word. My own self-imposed law. It wasn't based on the Mosaic law or the Levitical law, but it was just basically on the things I knew to do. Oh, I should be in the Word. I should be praying. And I just wasn't spending time with the Lord like I needed to. And you know how it is when we go to the Lord after we haven't been doing what we know we need to do. Many of us have a real difficult time really getting to the point. After that, we go to the Lord and we're paying our penance and we're like, oh God, I'm a sinner. Oh, you know how I hadn't been praying. I hadn't been in the Word and I haven't done this. I haven't done that. What's the focus? That's where most of us are at, and that's why we're so depressed. Listen to me now. One of the reasons that we have lost our joy is because we're listening to iTunes, watching YouTube. It's all about us. So the Lord speaks to me when I'm focused on this, and the Lord says to me this. He goes, he just interrupts me in the middle of me paying my penance to him, you know. And he interrupts me and he says, Trey, you need to stop magnifying your weakness and start magnifying my goodness. See, essentially, what was I doing? When I was talking about all about what I haven't done, whether I want to consciously say I'm doing it or not, I'm magnifying my weakness. So what he was telling me to do was this. Even if you miss it, even if you have blown it royally, don't spend all your time talking about what you hadn't done in condemnation. Start focusing about what Jesus has done. You can go to him and say, Lord, you know I missed it, but thank God you're faithful even when I'm faithless. Lord, I thank you that your mercy is greater than my sin. I thank you for the blood of Jesus that paid for it all. Not as a cloak for vice, meaning I'm going to use this so I can continue to live that way. What I'm saying is you're using it as a freedom, a liberating truth that helps you now. It enables you to come out of that. So I'm magnifying the Lord, and this is what he got me with. When he said, stop magnifying your weakness and start magnifying my goodness. Now listen to this. For it is in magnifying my goodness that you will find the strength to overcome your weakness. So the solution and the answer to not be weak anymore is to talk about how strong he is. And it says over in 2 Corinthians 3:18, I believe it is, he says, but we all, say we all, with unveiled face, beholding as in a mirror the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory. What does that mean? You are going to reflect in your life what you behold, what your focus is. So if I put my attention on God's goodness and God's faithfulness and all these different things, like for example, let's use the faithfulness part. If you have a tendency to be an unfaithful person, meaning you don't do what you say you're going to do, you don't show up on time for things, all the different things, and you're beating yourself up, why do I keep screwing up like this, Lord? Why do I keep messing up like this? And don't focus on your unfaithfulness. Start praising him for his faithfulness. Say, Lord, I thank you that your word is true, that you never lie to me. You're always there. You never leave me nor forsake me. Then as you begin to praise him for his wonderful characteristic and attributes of being faithful, guess what happens? You begin to reflect that in your life like you're looking in a mirror. So if you don't like the fruit you're getting, focus on God's good fruit in that area. Not in my notes, but it was good. Amen. So this salvation that these prophets prophesied of, man, they didn't even know. They actually were searching. And they're like, when is this going to happen, Lord? And this scripture tells us that it was revealed to them that it wasn't going to happen in their generation. It was going to happen for a future generation. And Peter was obviously telling this church that this has happened for us. says, this is what we have. And then he goes on to say at the end of verse 12, notice this, things which angels desire to look into. Now, I just love that phrase that gets thrown in there, and you might have heard me say this before, but when it talks about angels desiring to look into something, the word picture that's used in the original language describes a kid that is just zealous to peer over that gate and see what's on the other side. You ever seen a kid that's just so introspective and they're wanting to look and they're just desiring it, wide-eyed and bushy-tailed? That's the way the angels are with what you got. But man, you'll talk to Christians today and they want to look into the spirit realm and see angels. It's the exact opposite. Listen to this phrase right here. The church is God's university for angels. They want to see what we got, because what we have is far greater. We are sons of God. So what do we have? Well, this salvation entails many different things, and I'll just give you a quick little rundown of them. One of them is this: behold, what manner of love has been bestowed on us that we should be called children of God. If you're a born-again believer, you have been born of God's Spirit. His seed is in you, which means what? You've got God's nature on the inside of you. You're a partaker of His divine nature. So you got God's hair color. You got God's eye color. You want to know what Jesus looks like? That's what He looks like right there. Some of you said, surely Jesus has got to look better than that. No, but listen, in the Spirit, that's what we got. That's what we look like. Because we're too self-focused, it's not God looking at us. He's looking at Jesus. Do you remember it says over in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, for we are not will come to be this one day in the sweet by and by. We are His workmanship. Workmanship, which means what? His own work of art. Did you know in the Spirit you are God's work of art? And I'm going to say this in the worst possible English that I can say it to get it across to you. God don't make no junk. You're perfect on the inside. Everything there is nothing missing, nothing broken. Shalom, salvation is there. That's who I am. Say, that's who I am. And the angels desire to look into this. So, great love has been bestowed on us. Our sins have been paid for, past, present, and future. Jesus Christ died on the cross once for all. So now we have such great forgiveness that our mind hasn't even comprehended. There's a lot of awesome things in this new covenant. So now that I've teed myself up, let me share with you one other thing that we have under this new and better covenant that they didn't have under the old, which makes this salvation so great. Look at this phrase at the end of verse 12. So it talks about, well, let's read the whole verse. To them it was revealed that not to themselves, but to us, they were ministering the things which now have been reported to you through who? Through those who have preached the gospel to you by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. So I just love how Peter just throws in there at the end of how they preached this gospel to you. It was through the Holy Spirit who was sent from heaven. The word that's used for sent there is the Greek word apostello. A-P-O-S-T-E-L-L-O. And it's an akin word to the word apostle that we just looked at over there in Romans 1:1. So when he says the Holy Spirit has been sent, apostello, what that means is it's like having the Holy Spirit is like having our own personal divine apostle. Hallelujah. Now, what is an apostle? Let's look at this. An apostle, many people, you know, when you start talking about apostles, and I know we've been through all kinds of churches. You got one camp out there that believes there are no apostles today. They've all passed away. Therefore, all the miracles, signs, and wonders, and everything else that we saw in the book of Acts has passed away too. I could not disagree with that theology any more emphatically. It's like I heard of one minister one time. He said when he was young in the Lord, he was sitting in a particular church, and he was hearing the preacher stand behind the pulpit and said, miracles have passed away. tongues have passed away because all the apostles have passed away. And he looks up above the podium, and he said there was one of them bright flashing neon signs. You know what I'm talking about, where it's like advertising something? And it said in the middle of this, he had an open vision, it said in the middle of that, the last apostle ain't dead yet. There's still apostles today. It's still a relevant ministry in the world today. But then you got people that get on the other ditch. And what they do is they are self-appointing their own apostles and prophets in their particular churches and denominations. Some of us have been to those churches before. And these men and women of God will stand up before you with nice tailored suits, with embroidered on their suit, apostles such and such. And I'm so glad they put that on there, because there's no other fruit of the apostle in their life. So they got to let you know that's what they are. No, that's just man's attempt to try to give people position and confer titles, usually for the wrong motivation. So we don't want to get on either one of these ditches. But there is a middle part of the road, and what is that? There are still apostles in the world today, and if you are an apostle, what are you going to have? The fruit of an apostle. All right? So let's look at the word apostle, and what does this mean? Because it's really going to describe to us what the Holy Spirit has been commissioned to do for us. Amen. If you look the word apostle up in the New Testament, it literally means, one of the basic definitions you get is a sent one. One who is sent. So one of the major fruits of an apostle is this, is that they are sent out. Some people incorrectly then view that all the missionaries out there are apostles. No, not necessarily. A missionary can be an apostle, but it doesn't make one, just because we're all called to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Amen. So let's look at this. What is an apostle? It's a sent one. And one dictionary says this, one sent with a message. So it's a messenger or a missionary. Now, I love what Strong's adds for the word apostle. It defines an apostle as a commissioner of Christ. So you see the word commission lined up in here. But let me just put it into simple terminology for you of what an apostle does. Of course, they got the corresponding signs and wonders and miracles. But they are sent out to start, establish, and build up churches. So they're starting churches, then they're establishing them. How are they starting them? They're starting them through, you know, basically going and evangelizing the area. So they're going to be getting people saved. They're going to be witnessing for Christ. They're going to have signs and wonders and everything like that that are accompanying that. So you're getting people saved, and then you're establishing them through teaching, counsel, and various things like that. And then you're building them up. You're building that church up. This is what you see in Paul. This is what you see in Peter. This is what you see in all of them. All right. So what does this have to do with the Holy Spirit, Pastor? Well, does he have the fruit of an apostle? Well, let's consider it. If he's a sent one, where was he sent from? Heaven. He came from heaven to earth, right? To start churches. Now, we're not talking about physical buildings. Who's the church?
We are.
So if you are the church, not of brick and mortar, but in the Spirit, living stones, then the Holy Spirit's job was sent from heaven to earth to start you in the church. And what do the Scriptures teach us? That we don't come to the Father unless the Holy Spirit draws them, right? And it says over in Titus chapter 3, I think it is, Minton, you used this scripture this week, where it talks about that we are washed and regenerated. What does regenerate mean? To be born again through the Holy Spirit. So you couldn't even have gotten born again without the Holy Spirit having some activity in your life. So he essentially started every church in here. Aha, see you got the fruit of the apostle there. And then he's called to establish churches, meaning what? Now he's been commissioned to teach you, to counsel you, to convict you, and to remind you, all these various things. He's establishing you in the faith. And then, when you need help to do so, he's there to build you up. How does he do that? Well, he'll pray for you. Or I would say it this way, he prays through you. Building yourself up. It's the Greek word for edify there, right? So build yourself up in the most holy faith, praying in what? The Holy Ghost. So what we're seeing here is how the Holy Spirit is the original apostle. Now, I would actually say Jesus was the first apostle because he was sent from heaven to earth. But we already saw that he was the original helper, and now the Holy Spirit is another helper, right? So the Holy Spirit's like basically the second apostle that's been here. And he is the one that empowers and enables all these other gifts in you. So your calling, going back to that, how's that going to come out in your life? It's going to happen through you learning to yield more to the Holy Spirit and be filled more with the Holy Spirit. Because all the gifts, not just working of miracles, not just the gifts of faith, not just gifts of healings and all the different gifts of the Spirit that we like to talk about all the time, those aren't the only things he performs. He performs all the callings and the ministry offices in us too. So how are we going to enter more into that calling? Through a communion with the Holy Spirit, with the commissioner of Christ. So the Holy Spirit is the divine internal apostle. And so many people, I'm telling you, if they were honest with themselves, they might be trained not to say this, but if most people you were to ask them and say, what generation would you want to live in? And most people would say, if they're in the body of Christ, they'd probably say, man, I'd love to live during the time of Jesus. I would have loved to have been there and been one of his disciples and been taught by him and been and saw the miracles and everything like that. Jesus said that wasn't the best time period to live in. The best time period to live in is the one we're living in today. Amen? Or some people would say, man, I'd have loved to have the Apostle Paul. I would love to have been Timothy and been the Apostle Paul's son in the faith and let this apostle pour into me all this revelation and everything like that. Listen, I made this point Wednesday night in talking about the book of Galatians that we were talking about who the author was. He said, the Apostle Paul was the physical man that wrote this, but he's not the real author. It didn't originate from him. The scriptures teach us that he only said the things as he was God breathed. He was breathed on. He was moved to say the things he said and write the things he wrote because the Holy Spirit on the inside of him was moving him in that direction. Amen. So even having the Apostle Paul there wouldn't have been the best thing. He was only what he was because of the Spirit of God. You got the Spirit of God on the inside of you. You got the original apostle, which makes what we have better than what the disciples had in having Jesus. It makes better what Timothy had with having the Apostle Paul. What you have is greater. So what do we got to learn to do? Acknowledge him on the inside of us. So as we get into this series and we talk about what he is commissioned to do specifically, I challenge you and I encourage you, come with open hearts that says, Lord, teach me. I'm expecting to receive everything that you, the commissioner of Christ, who lives on the inside of me, has been sent, has been assigned, and has been delegated to do on my behalf. So as you start receiving that ministry, you start letting him teach you, you start letting him remind you, I'm telling you, your life will be all for the better. Can I get an amen? Well, let's stand on our feet then.